Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Greetings, everyone. This is Karen Cataline. We had a few technical difficulties with my microphone. We are going to talk in some length about the red flag bill with someone who watches it extremely carefully and who is prepared to talk to all of us about it. Steve Schreiner, former military man, head of the Firearms Coalition, and board member of the NRA. Thank you for joining us on Spouting Off.
Hi, Karen. Glad to be here.
Hi. Great to talk to you. Apologies for not being in a mic, so both of us are talking on the phone. But tell us a little bit about why the Second Amendment is your one and only issue, and what it is about that that has caused you to have such a tremendous and consistent passion about this issue.
Well, I've been involved with it since I was a kid. I decided that it's the keystone to our liberties and that it had to be protected at all costs. And that our forefathers warned us that they would try to take away these rights, and they have to be defended all the time. And there's no end to it. And so I decided to take that cause up one day, probably when I was still a teenager. And I've been doing it ever since, other than the military service. And I really did it then, too, but not publicly. And this comes from an interest in firearms, and I am a gun collector, and that further interest makes my interest broaden from antiques to the most modern. And I also hunt, and I've defended my country with firearms, and I believe in the right of self-defense with firearms. So back about 1989, this anti-gun effort started down in Australia. Can't think of the lady's name right offhand, but she was funded and proceeded to bring this anti-gun effort not only from Australia but to Europe and the United States. And it's been going on ever since. So we organized the Firearms Coalition of Colorado in addition to NRA efforts. But kind of the Firearms Coalition of Colorado is a grassroots, hands-on, all-volunteer effort. And we've been doing it ever since. Primarily, we do gun shows because that's where the public comes to us. We do have electronic means that reach out to other groups that reach out to other groups, and it grows that way. And we've maintained it on a steady basis. We print flyers and hand them out to the public.
Right.
We write electronic means.
Mm-hmm. I have never seen such dedication of any of the people that I know in politics. You are like the Energizer Bunny. You're always down at the Capitol. Tell everybody about this red flag bill as it stands right now, and what people need to know about it.
Okay, this red flag bill would allow for the seizure of your firearms without any warning and no due process. That is, no civil rights for you as a citizen before they seize them. The police show up unannounced, but they also have the capability of asking around the neighborhood and your professional and personal associates, thereby ruining your reputation in advance. Anyone can register a complaint, okay? It doesn't have to be just a relative or law enforcement or the court. It could be literally anyone, next door neighbor, old girlfriend from 30 years ago, your nephew that wants to hit you up for some money, or something like that. This is not only called the red flag bill, it's also called an ERPO, or extreme risk protection order. And it's good for 2 weeks until the respondent can obtain counsel for the court, which the court has to provide if you're indigent. And you get a short one-time response in a hearing. And if the court decides against you, they can keep your firearms for up to 364 days.
Stunning. Let's slow down a little bit. You said that virtually anybody can make this complaint. So
correct.
In the piece that I'm looking at, it says family member, current or former dating partner, recent roommate, or law enforcement officer. There a restriction? Well, is there a restriction to anybody who cannot make a complaint?
No.
No.
To be anybody.
Anybody. Even
anybody
somebody. Yeah. So even anybody who had an altercation with you and they had road rage, got your license
right.
plate number, got your name, and said, you know what, I'll fix him, right?
They can literally call it in on a telephone.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Do you know how different this particular red flag bill is from the other ones around the country? Because there's a lot of them around the country, apparently all funded, highly funded by Michael Bloomberg, and they're all variations of one another. Is this
yes.
tremendously this different?
Yes, this is the worst of the lot.
This is the worst
so
of
bad,
all of them.
It's so bad, yeah. It's so bad that 18th Judicial District Attorney George Brockler, who supported the bill part of the time last year and then didn't support it, came back and said this is a much worse bill this year than last year.
Yes, and as it bears saying that a lot of people did not vote for George Brockler because he came out for that bill in any form, because it does not have due process. I mean,
correct.
People can literally, I contend that this is to desensitize the public to the whole notion of police knocking on your door and telling you that they want your guns, which is exactly
yep.
what they can do. Today,
correct.
The very idea of that is abhorrent to even a person who doesn't own guns. Because if they
right.
can do that to your guns, they can do it to your brown shoes that they've decided have been banned, right?
Oh, they can take you and the brown shoes both.
Yeah, they can take you in your brown shoes and take you.
Doesn't
right.
That sound,
and
doesn't that sound somewhat familiar?
Well, it's not as if this has never happened in political history before. As I say, there is nothing new under the sun. There are just different names for it. But in most socialist tyrannies, people do exactly that. They come knocking on your door, they take you away, and you're never seen again. Now, many
that's
people
right.
think we're talking crazy, right? Are we talking crazy?
I think we're back to the 1930s in Europe.
Frightening.
That means
and,
not only Germany, but Russia as well.
Right. And our founders, it should be said, were very, very clear about being secure in your person and your papers, that people cannot,
yeah, but
without cause, knock on your door, come into your house without a warrant, and tell you that they're going to confiscate whatever it is you have that they want, be it guns or anything else. So
well,
what I said,
what,
are we? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why is so irritating is the fact that Alec Garnett, one of the sponsors, is a young lawyer whose father is a lawyer and a former district attorney, and he knows better.
Who knows? We're not the party that necessarily blames people for their relatives, but it wouldn't surprise me if they have some agreement on some of this. Now, I stopped you because I just wanted us to be clear on who it is can make this complaint, which is anybody. And then tell us all what happens after that. So somebody, anybody, makes a complaint.
And the cops
knock on your door, take away your guns.
Not quite. It goes from the complaint stage, whether citizenry or the police, to the court.
Okay.
And it receives what is called, and I'm no lawyer, receives what is called an ex parte hearing. That is,
right.
The hearing is held in front of a judge, but the respondent, the victim, is not there. Okay, the complainant may be there, and they don't even have to be there. That's why it can be made via telephone. They don't have to show up. They just register the complaint, and the judge makes the decision as to whether it's valid or not and whether to send law enforcement to your house to seize your firearms.
Let's stop there for a moment. Is it possible that there are left of center or even far left judges who don't believe in the right of individual citizens to have weapons to defend themselves, law-abiding citizens?
Oh, I would say probably they're in the majority.
I'm just pointing that out.
David Koppel, who is a nationally known gun rights attorney, works at the Independence Institute and is closely associated with the National Rifle Association, wrote a piece that's now online right now, and he went through a lot of these points and said that in other states, the error rate is 32%, and that in Colorado, it would be much higher.
When you say error rate, the error of what? I mean, who judges? What are we judging?
Of accusing a citizen of being an extreme risk and that should have their guns seized. And this could happen to anyone. And that the error rate in Colorado would far exceed the 32% figure that's found in several other states.
In other words, Steve,
totally innocent civilians.
Right. But you know what, Steve? It bothers me from the perspective of my background, which part of my background is in mental health, that people make assumptions that that kind of thing is so clear. It isn't that clear. All right?
No, and go ahead.
Yeah, well, the thing is that people who haven't been in the mental health field assume that mental health professionals can somehow be, as I wrote in my piece this morning, clairvoyant. Sometimes it's incredibly obvious that you're dealing with someone who's violent and disturbed, but a lot of times it isn't so obvious, and even a mental health professional cannot tell the future. If they have a concern, they can report it, but it is a misnomer and it's false to assume that a professional, mental health professional, has talents and abilities they do not have. Meanwhile, you've got a judge who isn't trained in mental health either, who's making these decisions. So I'm not sure that it is so black and white that it's 32%.
It might be much higher.
I would guess it is way higher because there are mentally ill people who are not dangerous.
Yeah.
There are dangerous people who aren't automatically mentally ill. They're dangerous. It's just not that cut and dried. So,
right. There's one reference in this bill to allow mental health professionals to introduce literature, guidance, professional opinions, But this is not a mental health bill. This is a gun grab bill.
Yeah, and not just spoken by a Second Amendment advocate, but because it wasn't written to help the mentally ill or in any way protect the public. Among the points I made in my blog this morning was that how ironic it is that the state is now conspiring to take away the right of self-defense from people who may be the victims of the very mistakes that that state made. You follow me? So,
yes.
So the state makes a mistake, and they do it all the time. In fact, they were the ones who were in error in places like Parkland. They dropped the ball. And so there will still be dangerous people on the street, and that will leave law-abiding citizens, whether they be mentally ill or not. There's a lot of law-abiding mentally ill citizens. It will. And I'm not saying the mentally ill ought to have guns. Please be clear on that. But I am saying that they're not dangerous and they wouldn't harm anybody, but people in their family may not be able to protect them because the state confiscated their rights to do so. So
correct.
It's complicated and it's egregious. So then what happens?
We do have laws on the books that can cover that, including a 72-hour mental health hold, among other things, which can't really be enforced because even though they're referred for a 72-hour hold, there's no place to keep them. The hospitals can't keep them. The jails can't keep them. And there are no mental health institutions because in the 1960s, everyone was turned loose on the streets to fend for themselves. They may have a right to fail, but they're out there amongst us.
Well, and just to, for the record, as I remember in my history, that it was, again, the left that thought it was inhumane to keep people in mental hospitals. We have a serious mental health issue problem, but they are pawns now in an agenda, an anti-Second Amendment agenda. And once again, they're using helpless and defenseless people in order, I think, to advance that agenda. Can you hang on with me? We need to take a break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the states that have, the counties in Colorado and other states that have been fighting back against these egregious and unconstitutional red flag bills. Okay? Can you do that? Very good.
We can do that.
This is Karen Cataline. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll continue talking with Steve Schreiner here on Spouting Off.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hi, I'm Shelby, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arn, on Congress granting itself legal exemptions.
In 1788, as the Constitution was being debated, James Madison wrote that the chief restraint preventing Congress from passing laws that apply to us, but not to Congress, is, quote, the vigilant and manly spirit which actuates the people of America, a spirit which nourishes freedom. If this spirit shall ever diminish so as to tolerate a law not obligatory on the legislature, the people will be prepared to tolerate anything but liberty. Today, Americans live under many laws that do not apply to elected officials and those who work for them. If we hope to preserve our liberty, we must recultivate that manly spirit of freedom that our fathers had.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Begun there. Oh, that's a pun. Welcome back, Karen Cataline with you on Spouting Off. We're talking to, with my guest, Steve Schreiner, the Energizer Bunny when it comes to Second Amendment issues. We were talking about the red flag bill, and when someone makes a complaint, and it can be virtually anybody, makes a complaint that they think that somebody they know, somebody that they ran into, is a danger to themselves or others. It goes to a judge who could very well be anti-Second Amendment and could say, you know what, you ought to go over there and go pick up that person's guns. That could happen without you knowing. That could happen without due process. That could happen without you knowing who your accusers were. I do want to make this one point, Steve. The whole reason that I wrote that blog post this morning, which was called, what was it called? Sane, to be crazy instead of, forgive me, it's not on the top of my head. But the whole notion that the gun-grabbing left has intentionally confused mental health issues with criminal behavior, therefore being able to sidestep all these rights that criminals have, but which supposedly crazy people, and I'm using the term loosely, don't have. Do you follow me? So that's how they're able to get away with it, because our Constitution requires protection against undue search and seizure and from having the right to face your accusers and all of that. It doesn't say that. We don't have a mentally ill Bill of Rights for obvious reasons, because they're citizens too. So that's what they're trying to get around. And that's one of the things that makes it so evil, in my opinion.
Well, even Dave Copel in his article today says the same thing. He said that ordinary gun ownership is equated with mental illness and criminal intent.
Correct. Exactly. So what happens after 14 days when you've had your guns taken away from you, right? And now you have to get an attorney.
Yes.
By the way, the title of that piece.
You have to prove your own innocence.
Yes,
you have to prove your own innocence.
Right, and it's not innocence, it's sanity. So the piece that I wrote, and forgive me for not being able to have it right up handy, is red flag laws, crazy until proven sane. You're not guilty until proven innocent. you are crazy until proven sane. So it is a sin for it. In other words, what they're doing is mishmashing all this together to get around the law. That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
Right.
So you have to get an attorney. I also make the point that if you're angry about having your house invaded, your rights violated, your property confiscated, you could seem a little crazy, couldn't you?
Well, they think so.
Right.
On the other hand, the homeowner, the homeowner may not agree with that at all.
What I mean is you go before a judge and you try to defend yourself or whatever,
right,
and then you have to get an attorney. It reminds me a lot of the movie Catch-22 about what is mental illness, and if you take a sane person and put them in an insane situation, they begin to adapt by acting insane. This is
sure.
the kind of thing that we're looking at, and it is unbelievably dangerous. So anyway, so then you have to plead your case and prove to the judge that you're somehow fit to be able to have a right to self-defense. And it could take the judge more than 364 days, right?
Yes, and the complainant can put in a second request to extend that 364 days.
There's so many things wrong with this. One of the things is that we cannot do that in any other issue, can we? We can't.
Not that I know
we
of.
We cannot go to a judge or anyone, go to a police officer and say, I think this person is going to hit me next week, so I want you to go into his house and take away, I think he's going to hit me with a baseball bat, so take away his bats. Or
no,
I have
take
a
away
feeling,
your guns and leave the bats.
Right, exactly. What this does, so many things, is it is the very opposite of Americanism, is simply to ask citizens to spy on each other and gives them license to retaliate against people they don't like, doesn't it?
Well,
am I wrong?
Not only, yes, spying is a good word for it, and it takes away the right, one of the main American jurisprudence rights of cross-examination. You don't get a chance to cross-examine your accuser. Your accuser goes to court, even if not directly, for the ex parte hearing, then you show up, and the accuser doesn't have to be there. And you have to answer to the judge, and there's no way to ask the original complainant what their reasoning is. They don't have to be in court. But your lawyer does, which the court will assign you, and you know how much interest that attorneys probably going to have for court-appointed lawyers' fees as opposed to private attorneys. And it's going to be up to the judge to decide whether you are justly accused or falsely accused, and your chances of getting your guns back, as far as I'm concerned, are slim and none. And we did get some provisions in there to take care of guns, especially curios, relics, and antiques. But that doesn't, you know, and family heirlooms, and that doesn't really cut it, because what if your accuser really means to do you harm? They want to make sure you're disarmed first.
Well, and that would never happen, right? Is there any punishment for false accusations in this bill?
Yes, but they're no more than the standard false reporting accusations, which are almost never prosecuted.
Mm. Steve, what kind of pushback is going on first around the country, and they don't have bills as horrible as the ones in Colorado? And then what are we seeing in Colorado as far as pushback? I know, but I
all
think
right.
it would be better if you told
first
everybody.
First of all, we have a dead police officer here that this act is named after. And, you know, they could have waited till the guy went grocery shopping and nabbed him rather than busing into his apartment where he was holed up, but he wasn't bothering anybody yet. And then we have one in Maryland a few months ago. The guy's sister turned him in, and when the police showed up at his door, he responded by opening the door with a gun in his hand. He sat the gun down. When he attempted to pick it up, the second police officer killed him. There are at least four more incidents I've heard about, one of which includes a law enforcement officer of people being shot by homeowners, okay, or shooting homeowners in various states, but I don't have the details on those cases. The caseload in Florida has exceeded 1,000, and I think Maryland's is very near that, and there's about another 10 states or so that have similar problems and similar laws.
When you say in cases, are you saying cases of the red flag bill? Because I was told that there is indeed a red flag bill in the Second Amendment-loving state of Florida.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about that has over 1,000 cases of seizing people's guns. They have gone right off the deep end on it.
Wow.
Now, there is other pushback. There are county sheriffs who are elected by their counties, and they are responsible or responsive to no one if they don't want to be, although governors may have something to say about that, who have said this county is a Second Amendment sanctuary. The movement is growing in Colorado. It started at least in New Mexico, if not other states. Out of 33 counties in New Mexico, they now have 29 sanctuary counties for Second Amendment rights. Colorado is growing daily by county commission meetings, and it's somewhere between 15 and 18 right now. It's my understanding Douglas County may actually become a pro-Second Amendment sanctuary, and that's where this bill started, was with the sheriff down there.
Yes, I read recently that Sheriff Elder is his name. He is a big supporter of this bill. What do you know about Sheriff Elder?
Elder, I believe, is, isn't he Weld County?
No.
Then it's El Paso County, but the sheriff the sheriff in Douglas County is Tony
Spurlock.
Spurlock. That's correct.
Spurlock. Yeah. And well, we have a lot of listeners outside of Colorado as well, so I don't want to get too far down into the weeds, but it is significant that a state with 64 counties. Now, as at least 18, and that bill, my understanding, has not yet been signed by the very progressive Governor Polis. Is that correct?
That's correct. It has passed the House, where the Democrats have a large majority, and it is on its way to being heard in Senate Military State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee Friday morning upon adjournment, where the public can have input. We would like people to come down to the Capitol and do just exactly that.
Right.
When we did this in the House, we kept them there until 9:30 at night. And the oil and gas people this last week kept them there till 2 o'clock in the morning. We would like people to come down. But I will tell you that parking is hard to find and it does cost money. But we would like you to stay there and see how long you can handle that flat spot on your rear end listening to this stuff.
Well, again, for the benefit of some of our listeners outside of Colorado, and I tried to make this point at the beginning, Colorado was completely taken over by very radical Democrats in the 2018 midterms. So there is virtually no power to push back in Colorado. So if you want to see what Democrats will do when they have no restraints placed on them, keep watching Colorado, because they're after oil and gas, as you mentioned, and a good many of the other bills that that I've discussed. If people want to contact you directly or get involved, maybe donate to the Firearms Coalition and learn more about what you're doing to preserve our Second Amendment rights, where can they go and how can they find you?
Okay. Our easiest way to find us is online is CO in caps, gun issues, G and I in caps, CO gun issues at yahoogroups.com. But it's a closed cell system, so you have to go to CO gun issues hyphen subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
And oh boy.
Go in there and say it that. Doesn't cost anything.
Okay. But say that nice and slow. Where they have to go.
CO gun issues hyphen subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Okay. Very, very
and
good.
Our mailing address for snail mail is Firearms Coalition of Colorado, P.O. Box 1454, Englewood, Colorado, 80150-1454. Other than my phone number and the other leaders in the organization's phone numbers, we don't have a central call-in line.
Okay.
But if it gets on CO gun issues, we'll get it.
Very good. And don't give your phone number out, but I encourage everybody to support the Firearms Coalition and Steve Schreiner. And thank you so much for being my guest and telling us a little bit about this bill. We cannot push back against this enough. This is, we don't even want it to go far enough to have to go to the Supreme Court, which thank God we have people in the Supreme Court who will recognize the unconstitutionality of all of this. It's amazing. Thanks, Steve Schreiner, for joining us here on Spouting Off. Maybe hope to have you again.
Thank you for the invitation, Karen.
My pleasure. Thanks for all the work you do.
All right.
And that's about all the time we have for this edition, this funky edition of Spouting Off. If you'd like to contact me, visit me at www.karencataline.com. You know how to spell it, Karen the normal way. Cataline spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter by the same name, / Karen Cataline, at Karen Cataline. That's about the only social media that I really care to do. Would like to increase my Twitter followers, however, and so asking your support and help to do that so that you can know what's going on here. Thank you so much to Doug, my... thankless, producer who has to put up with me and BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when we'll have a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.